Welcome, welcome, welcome everyone to the Hockey Think Tank podcast brought to you by thehockeythinktank.com, a website for anybody that loves the game of hockey. Today's episode, we are going to have, this is probably one of my favorite interviews that we've done so far. We have Barstool Chief on, who is one of the most popular bloggers for the website barstool.com. He is the top Blackhawks aficionado, so anything and everything that has to do with the Hawks, he's your guy. He also has a podcast with four other Chicago area natives called Redline Radio that is absolutely hilarious. And honestly, this is, again, one of my favorite interviews that we've done so far. My wife was actually listening to us from a different room, and she couldn't believe how many times we started laughing. So it was a great interview. But before we get to Barstool Chief, let's bring in the other dude on the podcast, my cuz, Jeff LaVecchio. Jeff, what's happening today in St. Louis?
Not much, man. Just slammed a protein shake and pretty excited about this podcast we crushed today.
Yeah, and for all of our listeners, protein shakes and Jeff LaVecchio go together like peanut butter and jelly. So how many protein shakes have you had here today so far?
That was my 24th protein shake of the day, so, or second.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like throwing around the word beauty all the time because, you know, like, it's so overused in the hockey world now. But like, if there's one guy that beauty is perfect for, it's Barstool Chief. Like, he's got the accent, the Chicago accent mixed with a little bit of like East Coast, like just everything he says, he's so confident. And, you know, this is one of the podcasts where, you know, you and I were on video chat with him so we could see him while we were doing it. And God, he's just a hilarious human being and very, very poised, a good speaker, like has great opinions. It was really interesting getting to interview and talk to a guy who's, you know, he's in the media and journalism side of sports, but at the same time, it's not one of those guys that takes himself like crazy seriously with his stories. Like, obviously he loves what he does and he takes it seriously, but like, you know, he said like a lot of things that he'll say are like his opinions and stuff, and he'll be wrong. And it's just interesting to talk to a guy like that just has like, you know, a dream job for, I'm sure, most people who are in the sports world that love following sports. Like, guy's just a beauty. Like, he's a guy I want to go have a beer with for sure. Like, if I go to Chicago, I'm going to get his number from you, and I'll definitely be shooting him a text and like, hey, you probably don't remember me, but I'll buy you a beer if you want
to. Yeah, and it was one of the things we were talking about it when we were talking about with him. It was almost like we were back in the locker room just, you know, shooting the breeze with the boys, and that's something we all – kind of aspire to do outside of the game now. It's what we miss the most. But yeah, he had some awesome stories. I mean, he's talking about when he got to party with the Blackhawks after they won the Stanley Cup in 2015, and you know, he's carrying the cup around to different bars and stuff like that as a Barstool blogger. So that was pretty cool. And he's just got a great take on the game, and again, he doesn't take it too seriously, and but he's really, really good at what he does. And really, really funny. Again, my wife, she was laughing at us because of how much we were laughing as we were doing it. But yeah, I think everybody's going to enjoy this interview, and let's get right to it. Here we go. So we got Barstool Chief on our podcast, one of our first guests. Really excited, really lucky to get him out here. He is a blogger for the Chicago Blackhawks and also Notre Dame Fighting Irish, the undefeated blog. Are they going to be going undefeated this year? Are you still standing by that?
It is the year of our Lord 2018, and Notre Dame is going undefeated. So yeah, it's so it was written. So let it be done. So that's where we are with Notre Dame. Yeah, I think they're favored every game the rest of the way. So I'm going to be looking pretty smart come Thanksgiving time this year. The blog every year, and this is the second time it's going to come true.
I tell you what, I hope they end up playing against Ohio State at some point in the playoffs and beating them like 42-0, and just Urban Meyer goes home with his tail between his legs. That would be the greatest thing ever.
Well, I think, you know, I always like put on a good show for the faithful, as I call them on Twitter, but if they go to the playoffs, they're going to lose by like 50. they're not at that Ohio State, Alabama type level yet. But But yeah, it's been a fun year. It's been a fun year, Ian Book, and yeah. So Notre Dame, Blackhawks, hockey in general. It's that is the role for me on the internet these days.
I like it. Well, you certainly have quite a following, both on Twitter, on Instagram, and online. And obviously, having the chance to blog for Barstool has to be something that's been pretty cool for you. What's it like to work for Barstool, and how did you kind of get into it at the beginning?
So I went to Lake Forest College, north of Chicago, and it has a lot of East Coast kids. And my freshman year was 2005, and my best friend was from Massachusetts, and he was just telling me about that you got to read this website. You got to read this website. And back then, it was just like almost like a PDF of the newspaper that Prez used to have at the tea stops in Boston. So I'd read it when it would come out every 2 weeks on the internet. And then, so I was a fan from the get-go. And when I heard that they were coming to Chicago in, I think it was like summer of 2012, I had had a blog for this other marketing company I was working for that I had kind of modeled loosely after Barstool. So I sent samples in. They said, yeah, why don't you be our Hawks guy? They were in a lockout. So I wrote the Notre Dame Undefeated blog, and then that was it. And they fired me.
Oh, no, really? Come on, are you serious?
Yeah, so they hired this guy before Big Cat, and his name was Neil, and he was really struggling. So, it's like a big undertaking to, like, launch the city and find your voice and all of that. And, you know, the Hawks weren't playing. They're like, hey, like, we're just going to, like, consolidate around one guy, and so you're out. So I was like, oh, well, I hope you enjoyed that one blog that I wrote. and they did end up going undefeated. So I like predicted that, and then they went undefeated, which is why I kind of do it every year now as a joke. And then the following spring, obviously, the lockout ended, the Hawks came back, and Neil got fired, and they brought on Big Cat full time. So I emailed, and the Hawks were like a wagon that year. Like, oh, yeah. That was the year they started like 25-0-2 or whatever, and the shortened season. So I emailed Dan, being like, hey, like, you're probably going to need a hockey guy for this team in the playoffs because they're going to win the Stanley Cup. Like, can I just come back? And he's like, and I sent him samples, and he's like, hey, like, we'll treat it as a tryout, you know, for this round of the playoffs. And if people like you, you can stay. And no one ever gets fired from Barstool, so I don't know if people like me or not, but I'm still, but I'm still here. So, yeah. So it's been since April, like 2013. So it's been a long time now.
Yeah, that's awesome. And what is it like writing for Barstool? Because you guys have obviously a huge following. Also, some people who don't like Barstool so much, which it is what it is. You guys tell it like you see it, and you say what you feel, and you don't really care what other people think. So that's got to be pretty refreshing. What's it like to write with a kind of culture like that?
It is. It's very liberating. Like I have an editor, which is Big Cat. He has never edited one thing I've written. He's never said you can't write this or delete that. Do you think he's actually
read it or no?
He will read it like depending on the time of the year.
Gotcha. Okay,
so we had him on our podcast this week, and he was going through his sports calendar, and he's like, hockey starts with the Winter Classic, and then basketball starts on Christmas Day. Football is the only thing that's 12 months a year. So, like, I'm writing all kinds of stuff now, and, you know, the Hawks are off to a hot start. He'll read my tweets, obviously, but he will never click on a blog. Like, he just knows I'm not going to, like, embarrass myself or the site or anything like that. So, at least not too badly. And, so he'll read it come, like, when the playoff preview comes. He's on, like, every word, and, like, will regurgitate it elsewhere and, like, you know, do that. But for right now, he like doesn't care.
Have you ever said anything that embarrassed yourself or Barstool?
I mean, the night is young. By the time we hang up, I'll say something stupid. Yeah, I say stupid things all the time. Like, that is another part of what's great about writing for Barstool is that you have a long leash. Like, I have opinions about, you know, all kinds of things. I'm going to be wrong a lot. It's just nature of being online and being on the internet. So, like, you have that, you know, freezing cold old takes exposed or something. Like, that guy gets me all the time. Like, digging up things that I've said from earlier in the week, 3 years ago, I'm like liable to be wrong. Like that is just like, it's going to happen. So I don't even worry about it. I just kind of say what's on my mind. And I usually like when I'm trying to be thoughtful, I'll be thoughtful. But a lot of times I'm just shooting from the hip. And I feel like our readers are really good at picking up on those nuances. Like they know when it's time to be serious, when it's time to joke around. And so they don't really hold you to like a high standard, like a literal standard. So it works out great for everyone. Everyone's just trying to have fun on the internet and people just need to chill out.
Yeah. God forbid you're able to be like sarcastic every once in a while and, you know, make some off color jokes and stuff like that.
Like even that Notre Dame undefeated block, like there are times where I'm like, this team stinks, but I'm writing the blog anyway. And like, everybody's just kind of in on the joke. So obviously this year they're good, but yeah, it's just, you know, like everyone that is like, I really do love our audience. So I know we get in trouble with some mainstream people and our readers they defend us vigorously on the online too. And I think sometimes that makes the problem worse, but I love them. I wouldn't trade, you know, our followers for the audience, the size of the Tribune. Our people are loyal and I like that. So it's fun. It's really fun to write for Barcelona. And we get, you know, pretty good perks. I got to party with a cup in 2015, like be on the party bus and get to play in the charity classic with Topher. That's always one of the highlights of my summer. So it's been great. It's been a really great experience. No complaints.
Yeah. And probably part of that experience was being a recurring guest, I'd say, on Spit and Chicklets, which is the biggest hockey podcast by far. Biz Nasty and Ryan Whitney. And it's actually pretty funny. I coached Ryan Whitney's little brother at Cornell.
So, no way.
Yeah. So I came in my first year was Wit. We call him Wits. Was Wits' senior year. And to be honest with you, if I didn't know it was Ryan Whitney that was doing the podcast, I would think it was Sean. They sound exactly alike.
Between, they have like a unique sound too.
Oh my god! Oh yeah, the Scituate Mass. You know, I don't give a shit what you think, and they're gonna tell you like it is. Like it's hilarious. Like I seriously, when I listen to the podcast, because I listen to it all the time, I see Wits in my head, Sean Whitney in my head as Ryan's talking.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's pretty cool. But what's it like to be on their podcast? I mean, it's got to be a blast.
It is so much fun. Like those guys. Both Paul and our rear admiral, you know, who's like one of the main hosts, I've known him, you know, forever now because he's been with Barstool, I think, I don't know, 12 years, something like that. And so I've known him a long time. Wit and Biz have both been like super cool with me from the very start. I love going on there. It's just like they, I'm sure you guys can attest to this, it feels like you're in the locker room or on the bus. It's just like the boys hanging out, telling stories, and they're both great storytellers, and they give each other shit. It's just like it is the most fun podcast to listen to and to go on. It's just – it's a great – it is like the quintessential hockey podcast. And, you know, like when they're trying to like give insights and, you know, they're pulling stats or whatever, like that's not their strong suit. They don't really even care about that. Like, let me tell you what I think, you know, and then it gets spins off into some story about how Wit was in Edmonton or in, you know, playing for Wilkes-Barre Scranton or whatever. So it's great. And those guys are awesome. And you definitely get like a little boost on social media too, whenever you go on there, as long as you do a good job, and they set you up to do a good job. They do a really good job. And now like we have a podcast on Barstool too, so we kind of know some of the numbers. They do monster numbers.
Really?
Like their podcast, when I saw it, like my jaw like hit the ground. Like they're one of the like the most successful podcasts on the Barstool platform, which is a big podcast network now. And they are those boys are killing it. So, and they deserve it. Like they're crushing it. So, and it's really fun. I look forward to it. You know, I'm glad they're back to 2 days a week now too for the season. So it's great. It's a great podcast. I love Chicklets.
Yeah, and as funny as it is, it's also very informational for people that love hockey but don't know what it's like to be a player and haven't really been at that level before, because like some of their stories that they tell, like guys that have played, they're like, oh yeah, that makes total sense. Like, yep, been there, done that, you know? And just like the stupid things that we do as hockey players and just the stupid things that we say that is hilarious. And when you're sitting around in the locker room in a 40-year reunion, like that's basically what they're talking
right.
about. And it's so
it's
funny.
All like memories and stuff. Yeah. And they weave it all together perfectly. And I think, you know, neither one of them are like journalists, obviously. I think that's pretty obvious. They have a tenuous grasp of the English language in general, but they get like the A-list hockey guys, and you can just tell instantly whether it's Austin Matthews or Charlie McAvoy. Everybody just feels so comfortable with them, whether they've met them before or not, because they just know the type of guy they are because they've been around them since they were 6 years old. It's been like, you know, you grow up in a locker room, the conversation pieces change, obviously, from six to age 30 or whatever. But the tone is the same. Like, right? Like, you're in the locker room for a long time. Everybody's in a circle. Everybody's cracking jokes. Like, there is nothing better than a hockey locker room. So, they definitely bring that to the podcast. It makes it a lot of fun.
Yeah. Jeff, did you ever play against Witz or Bissonnette?
I don't think so. I can't remember, but I think I was already overseas by the time they were coming through, or I was in a different conference, or maybe Bissonnette was already in the show. I don't know. And I was plugging away in the American League or something. But I love that show, too.
Window when Witt was still in the A? Or like,
yeah. Dude, I don't even know.
They were like two ships passing in the night themselves.
Yeah.
Biz was up for like 60 total games and then off to England. Or yeah. And then down to the A.
You know, people are just like all over the place. Yeah. Over those few years when you're trying to battle and grind. If you're not like making it right away, like you don't know where you're going to be. You know, it's you're all over the place. But I think it's so funny how, you know, every time I listen to that show, it's like you said, it's like you're just in a locker room with the boys. And then I'll hear all these kids that I'm around all the time regurgitating the things that they say. And I'm like, how? You don't know about these things. Like, what are you talking? Oh, did you hear Chicklets last night? And I'm like, oh, no. Okay, well, that's where you got that from.
It's a window into the culture.
Yeah.
Like no one – there's been a lot of hockey podcasts over the years. There's nothing quite like those guys. So they're – they do the best job by far.
We're coming for them. We're coming for them.
Yeah, we'll let them know.
Absolutely.
Well, cool. Yeah, they do. Yeah, they do such a good job. But you know, you obviously get on that show, and you have a really good hockey background, and have a great following when it comes to the Blackhawks. What's it like covering the Hawks, being a diehard Blackhawks fan? I would imagine you've been a Hawks fan for a long time. What's it like writing about them, maybe knowing some of the players, and, you know, being a fan?
Yeah, I mean, it's a little different this year. Like, you know, we know some of the players, but, you know, Scott Darling so we talked about Berkshire a little bit before we went on air, but my good buddy from Berkshire became best friends with Scott. Like, so I've known Scott like independent of Barstool before he and the Blackhawks. So like that was like the real reason I got to party with the Cup in 2015 was that connection. And so it's like a mutual best friend. And obviously he's a big Stoolie. So it was like a natural friendship. Like the three of us would just become friends. But yeah, it's been great. Last year sucked. Okay. Not going to lie, because it's just like, it became kind of like a chore. Like I'm like, I really don't feel like watching this game in March when they're 30 points out of the playoff spot. But for the run, like to start in 2013, which on the eve of like, I think I like wrote my restart first blog, like the day before game one of the first round. So to start from in 2013, it's been unbelievable. Like two cups in that stretch, a couple of conference finals appearances. It's been awesome being a Hawks fan, not only as a blogger, but you know, just being a person in the city. Like the sport is so much bigger now. I think, you know, I've seen stats where youth hockey participation in Illinois at the start of this run, Illinois was like the 10th most. Had the 10th most youth players. Now it's up to 5th. So like it's the sport in itself is growing. People care more than they ever did. The home games weren't even on TV. So we used to live out east. When I was a little kid, I was a Hartford Whaler fan. Like that was my team. And then they moved on my birthday, on my 11th birthday.
On your birthday.
My 11th birthday, they played their last game and I like cried my eyes out. And then we moved to Illinois the following year. So I adopted the Hawks. So I was like ready to be a Hawks fan. And then it's like, the games aren't even on TV. Like, what the fuck is, you know, what is this? And but yeah, it's been an incredible run. And like, you know, and the guys in general are pretty cool with Barstool. Patrick Sharp's been awesome to us. Guys like Adam Burrish throughout the years. Kane is cool when we see him. Like he was great this summer. And then obviously guys like Hartman and his throws. I kind of feel like I it's the kiss of death because everybody that I get like kind of tight with, Stan trades them. So whether it's Starling or Hinostroza, Van Riemsdyk, you know, all these guys that are like, you know, they're just like good dudes who like, you know, they're guys like you and that like Barstool. And then Stan just gets a whiff of that and is like, no, you're out of here. you're banished to Arizona or Carolina or wherever else.
Yeah. So
have you ever?
Oh, go ahead, Jeff.
I was just gonna ask, have you ever like watched a game and then wrote up a piece where you're chirping somebody or something where they're not playing well, and then you see them later and they confront you about it?
Well, they're all like so sensitive, right?
Like, I would be too, though.
Yeah. So like I think that's kind of why I get along with someone, because I'm fair. Like I like Brandon Saad's not like a stoolie, but I ripped him pretty good today.
Oh yes, you did.
Yeah. So because just, you know, just play hard. Like, come on, just play. Like, just be power forward. Come on, it's not hard. I pulled a clip of Brady to Chuck being like, "This is a kid who's 18. Like, no one's. It's not rocket science. You just go to the net, win battles, win the puck along the wall, support the puck, all that shit. Just do it. Just do it. You're making $6 million. Just fucking do it." And so yeah, I think, you know, I remember I had a tweet that Vasilevsky was backing up Bishop at the time, that he was the best backup goalie in the league, and I got a text from Scott Darling like, what is this? Like, you know, like kind of half kidding, but also he was like, I'm the best backup in the league.
Yeah.
You know, like, so you'll get things like, that's like a fun example, but yeah, I would say like, there's not so much guys in the Hawks, but I remember like there were guys on other teams who I might've been cool with and I might've said something, and then they were like not cool anymore. So we won't name names, but yeah. Maybe some New York Rangers. Yeah, so I don't know. Again, but for the most part, everyone just kind of knows, and I'm not saying anything that's like rude or out of bounds, or, you know, like I kind of know the line at this point. So
cool.
At least I think I do.
Well, the line moves, right? It's moved. Yeah. It's not a static line. Yeah.
Right.
And I actually heard from one of your Barstool buddies that you guys, I'm not sure if it was 2013 or 2015, but you and Big Cat kind of got to have some fun with the cup, and that was part of putting really Barstool Chicago on the map, was you guys just living it up with the Hawks after they won the cup that summer. So tell us a little bit about that. That must have been unbelievable.
That was, I mean, that was one of the, like, my favorite nights of my entire life. Like, you know, how many times you get to party with the cup and like be on the party bus and spraying champagne. And so, you know, I got to the bar with my buddy from prep, waiting, you know, we missed the whole, Big Cat did the whole day. Like I have like another 9-to-5 job. So Big Cat doesn't. So I think they did mimosas and stuff at Sharp's house at like 10 a.m. Went over, the Cubs had a day game. Big Cat just pretended that he was on the team. Like, walked around, was like waving to the fans, was in the team picture on the mound. Like he did the whole thing. So I met him up at a tavern a little bit later, and I was like, I felt very out of place, right? Like, I didn't win the cup. Like, I'm just a stupid idiot, fat blogger. Like, why am I, you know, I'm going to take some pictures and whatever and go home. But then everybody on the team, like, made me feel so welcome. Like, Sharp was awesome. Hartman was a black ace that year. He was great. He was there. TVR. So everybody was just like, you know, made you feel a part of it, but I was still nervous. So I'm like sitting next to Sharp, and they, obviously everything's like roped off, so the riffraff can't come and bother you. But he's in the bar, and the cup was behind the bar, like kind of across the way, like kind of across the room. And, so people would like walk up and take pictures, and he's like, "Hey Chief, like just, it's time to go. We're going to the next bar, go get the cup." And I'm like, "What are you talking about?"
Yes.
I'm like, "What are you talking about?" He's like, "It's time to go. Go get it. It's over there." And I'm like, "If I go over there and try to like pick that up, I'm going to be like punched in the face and dragged out of here by bouncers." He's like, "Ah, yeah, you're right." So he goes, "Hey, Siebs." He's like, "Take Chief and go get the cup." So Siebs and I like walk through the crowd, walk behind the bar. I pick it up off the back of, you know, the back part of the wall. Walk it out, put it on the party bus, put it right between my legs, start pouring, you know, champagne in it, and drink it out of the cup on the party bus. And like, so I'm like, what, like, and like I said, like an idiot, walking through the bar, holding the Stanley Cup. It's like a surreal thing. It's like a kid who like grew up like dreaming about the Stanley Cup to actually like carry it. Yeah. So it was, and I remember like, yeah, there's all kinds of unwritten rules. Are we allowed to swear on this? How are we approaching this?
I mean, we already have, so we might as well.
I know, but yeah. I don't know if we're bleeping it.
Yeah. No, we're right, good. Well, we're good.
Okay. So I'm like, and then my other comment to Sharp was, like, you know, if you haven't won it, you're not supposed to like lift it and carry it and hoist it. And he's like, we've won this thing 3 times. We don't care about those rules anymore. Do whatever you want. Do whatever you want. So I did. Like holding it up. So it was an awesome night. And like those guys like couldn't have been any better. Awesome, awesome, awesome night. Never forget it. So hopefully they get one more. Hopefully they get one more. That's all I need is one more trip with the Stanley Cup.
What are your
pictures on the mound with the Cubs in?
Yeah, I could do the full day.
You could take a sick day for one day, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's cool. And what do you think about the team right now? I mean, obviously last year sucked. But I mean, they're off to a pretty good start so far. And I was thinking actually how I wanted to start the podcast here today. And I was going to ask you how quickly you went from 6 to midnight today when you found out that Crawford was coming back. So what are your thoughts on where they are now and kind of expectations for the rest of the year?
Yeah, I would say it's like 6 to 9 or 3, depending on which way you're oriented. But yeah, I'm cautiously optimistic, but if he's himself, then I think they're a playoff team because they've been looking great offensively. Taves looks like Taves of old, maybe even more offensive than we've ever seen him. Like he's attacking in different ways. Looks a lot quicker. Shot even looks a little bit better. You know, I read a lot that he was working with Brian Keane and Adam Oates and just, you know, trying different things to, you know, square up with shooters or square up as a shooter and shoot off both legs and kind of be unpredictable. And it shows. And he's putting the puck in the back of the net. DeBrincat looks like he's taking a step. Kane is still, I don't know, he's a genius. That guy is probably the best part of being a blogger in Chicago. So just watch him every night. It is incredible to watch him play. And then Duncan Keith, you know, like it seems like they have some interesting pieces. I think they have enough to be like right there for the wild card. And I think Corey kind of gets him to that. Corey Crawford gets him to that level. So they're not like what they were, okay, but they're trending in the right direction. And I think next year, if Stan makes some decent moves, and they have guys like Ian Mitchell coming from Denver, that they're not too far away. And like I said, I've always just said I want to have fun watching the Hawks again. Going 5 straight games overtime has been a lot of fun. So it's been a great start to the year.
Yeah, for sure. Jeff, have you had any instances partying with the Cup at all?
No.
Any of your buddies?
What a loser.
what a nerd. No, I black aced for Boston the year before they won it. And we were in Boston, and I'm not going to say we because I wasn't part of the team. I was just there in case anyone got hurt. But like the Bruins were up 3-0 on Philly that year, and that's when Philly came back. Yeah. And wound up beating them in the quarters or the semis. I don't even remember. It was like literally like the city just died. It was crazy. Like it was like, we're going to win the Cup this year, and then up 3-0. And then Philly winds up coming back. And then the next year I got traded to Florida in the middle of the year. And then that's the year they won it. So like the guys who I black aced with the year before, they were out there with their equipment on holding the Cup up. And I remember watching that. It's like one of them was one of my good buddies, and I was just like, I don't think I'd want to pick it up because like he didn't do anything for it, you know. Like he didn't play any games in playoffs, and I was always
didn't even blog.
Yeah, you belong, you know. If you're blogging, you can carry it out with Siebes. But
right, yeah.
But you know,
keeping morale up all year long.
Exactly, you're getting the boys going.
Yeah.
But yeah, so the next year, the guys that I was black acing with, they were carrying around the ice, and I mean it's cool. But for me, it'd be like, well, I wouldn't even want to put my equipment on and go out there. I'd feel so awkward, like, you know.
Are you kidding me? No, you wouldn't. You would leading the charge.
No chance. No. And I remember when Abdelkader, when he came out of college and did that with Detroit, and they won. I don't think he played any games in playoffs. I don't remember, but he was out there, and I was just thinking like, like, what? Like, you didn't play for that. What do you – I don't know.
He's a special case, though. Like, went, you know, Michigan kid, went to Michigan State, right to the wings. Like, if he's not – like, he could just be, like, basically me. Like, he's just a fan of the Wings, like, who happens to be a black ace.
Kid was such a mouthpiece. You must have played against him a couple times at Western when he was at Michigan State. But I remember playing against Abdelkader, and he was – like, you hated him. Just absolutely hated him. Was that like that too?
I hated playing against that guy because he hits so freaking hard. He hits so hard. And
he's not that big either. He's just a tank.
Yeah.
He's thick. He's not like thick, like huge, but he just like hits with everything. And I hate playing against that guy. But he's nasty. I mean,
he is nasty. Obviously.
So,
state champ in high school. National champ in college, Stanley Cup champ. Pretty good career.
Yeah, and Jeff, one of your best buddies was the goalie that year for Michigan State. Little 5'9" Jeff Lurg. He's not even 5'9" though, I don't think.
That's hilarious. He's barely taller than you, Toph. He's like 5'6".
So he's like 6'2"? Is that what you're saying?
That was the year in St. Louis. I went to that. I got a buddy who played for BC. You there? Yeah, I was at that game, the Michigan State Brian Boyle team.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Actually, the guy that I'm coaching with right now, Chris Collins, up here in Rochester, he was on BC that year, and he had a hat trick in the semifinal game against North Dakota. Just absolute wagon. He's good.
Well, that was the second year, I think, second or third year in a row, BC lost in the national championship. Because they had lost to Wisconsin. They hit the goalpost with 1 second left. And then they blew that game against Michigan State. They gave up two late ones. That was like the Corey Schneider years. Like, they were – BC was unreal. And then I think they beat Notre Dame the next year. But they had – that was a rough stretch to go to the national championship game twice and lose in, like, heartbreaking fashion.
Yeah, they were filthy that year.
Yeah.
I did some team building with them this year. So I got to go there and, you know, like – going to the locker room and talk to their guys and just like walking through their hallway of like NHL alumni. They have all their pictures and stuff up on the wall. It's like NHL All-Star, Hall of Famer, NHL All-Star, Hall of Famer, NHL All-Star, Hall of Famer. It's like, it's not even fair.
It's getting better too. Like, it's just, you know, like, it seems like the current crop is like better than the generation before. Like, the current NHLers, maybe I feel like BC as a program has kind of slipped maybe a bit, but
yeah, I think last year was the first year they didn't make the tournament in forever.
Yeah. But then they went out and got like Oliver Wahlstrom and guys like that for this. And so I feel like maybe they're pulling like a Coach K. Maybe getting those Bauer dollars, slipping the hockey bag. Exactly. Come on over to BC.
That is always funny. You hear like Biz on the Spit and Chicklets podcast whenever like the London Knights come up. They're like, oh, yeah, how much did he pay for them to go there? Yeah, London Knights, huh? But that's pretty cool. And so – reading a little bit of your stuff, just to go a little bit in a different direction. Are you still the mayor of Scoop City? Like, what's it like? What's it like getting Scoop and like being the first to kind of, you know, get some news out there?
I love that. Like, there is no rush. Like, I'll like tell somebody like on the bus if I hear like a good scoop. Like, I love breaking news. It's thrilling. So doing it on the internet to like thousands of people, it is the best. But I'm out of scoops. Like, all my scoops, like, I had a couple guys, you know, in the organization who would, like, slip me little things here and there, like the Winter Classic and things like that. And, like, for one reason or another, they've all left. So I – this year, and then Stan has traded all of my buddies. So two guys just, like, leaving and taking other jobs and the players getting traded. This year is going to be – dry for me with Scoop. So I am not the mayor of Scoop City anymore. Just like, I feel like I'm resigning before I'm impeached because I just can't. I got nothing.
Give up. You got to work some angles.
Yeah.
So that's why you don't like Stan. It's not because of necessarily how he's constructed the Hawks. He's just giving people away that give you Scoop.
He could... I don't care if he had a full team of guys who didn't even speak English. If we're winning the cup, like, I do not care. Just don't take a team that's a Ferrari and like running off a bridge, which is what I feel like he did from 2015 till now.
Yeah. But, Well, at least he's nicer to you than the old Blackhawks GM who gave you some not so nice words of, I wouldn't say encouragement, when you played in our charity game a couple years ago. What was that conversation like when you had Dale Tallon behind the bench and he was trying to give you some pointers on what you should be doing on the ice?
Well, I wouldn't really call it pointers or constructive criticism. It was basically like, you should just never play hockey again. His direct quote was, "You're the worst defenseman I've ever seen."
So, no.
I hadn't played. Like, that was the first time I had skated that week. Not that it, like, would have made a big difference. But I hadn't skated in, like, 8 years. Like, I just hadn't, after school, I was just done. Like, I'm just not playing. And so, but like, I'm not going to turn down an opportunity to play in a game like that. And so dusted off my equipment and skated like 4 times in 5 days. And like, I show up, my feet are just all blistered over. Brand new skates. And yeah, I had a little rough go of it. And then I got benched with a minute to go, but bad coaching move by Dale Tallon. Cause Ian Cole messed up the whole game.
They tied the game up, right?
I tied the game up because Ian Cole was on the ice instead of me. I would have let the other team score like 30 seconds earlier. So then we would have had a chance to go back. But he gave it up with like 2 seconds left, like an idiot. You got to let them tie it earlier. So you have give Patrick Kane a chance to win it.
And a little bit of background on what we're talking about for the listeners that don't know. We put together a charity game in Chicago the last 2 years to benefit Special Olympics Chicago. And the event last year, we didn't even really know what we were going to get into. And you were certainly a huge help in getting the word out there. And can't thank you enough for everything that you did. But we ended up raising $140,000. Yeah, I mean, when Kane signed up, I mean, that was the deal breaker for sure.
Who's that?
Yeah.
Patrick,
he's all right.
Yeah, he was unreal too. Like, he signed every autograph, talked to every kid, you know, the Special Olympics athletes that were there. He was right in there with them, like on the ice and all that kind of stuff. He was unreal. But Barstool Chief was probably the big draw to the game. But what was that like? Like, what was that experience like for you getting there? And Dale Tallon's your coach, and Patrick Kane's your teammate, and all that kind of stuff.
I mean, everybody, right? I mean, like, even guys like, I think, Cliff Coral, like, you know, and then this year is Eric Daze. It's just like a lot of like old Hawks names that you just know. And then it's, you know, arguably the best right winger in the world. And so I'm not even going to try to be like tough. Like, I got huge butterflies, even in warmups. It's like, here, I'm just going to pass it to Kane in warmups. Like, holy shit, I just passed it to Patrick Kane. Like, it's like, you know, like, it's like kind of crazy. And, so yeah, but again, it's like, you know, he and I have bumped into each other a few times. Like, he, so through this Barstool thing and like, you know, Stanley Cup parties and Seabrook's 1000, like he and I aren't like buddies, but he's always like very good to me. Like, you know, so he, same kind of thing that Sharp did at the Cup party. Kane was like immediately like gave me a whack and a slash, like, like skating around in warm-ups, like, oh, you know, what's up, Chief? And, you know, so like they treat you, you know, he's just like a good guy and an easy guy to be around. You can tell why all his teammates have always loved him. Like, he's the man. And and then, you know, guys I love from that 2010 team, like Ben Eager, you know, like Ben Eager was an animal on that 2010 team. And like, they had the big rivalry with the Canucks, so he was like body slamming guys and like literally body slamming guys in fights, and big boys too. I think it was Shane O'Brien who's knows his way around a piece of pizza. Dude, so, yeah. so you picked him up. So then it's like, you know, you're in the locker room and Ben Eager's just tossing you a beer. So it's just, it was one of those surreal experiences as like a Blackhawks fan and blogger to like just be one of the boys with the boys. So it was a great day. That was a great day. I hope you're doing it again next year. If you do it again next year, I'll be there next year too. So.
Oh, man. Well, you guys this year, you brought your whole Redline Radio crew to the game. You guys were hilarious. Like, I was walking through the stands just talking to people, and everybody was like, who are those guys over there? They're absolutely freaking hilarious. You should have seen them just yelling and really drunk. Everybody was hammered. Like, all four really guys drunk. Were just three sheets to the wind. But everybody was loving it. It was great.
We had open bar before the game.
That's true. We did have an open bar before the game.
It wasn't our fault. But yeah, that we actually made a video of that. So that's coming out I think we're releasing that first week in November. So we'll have video from that day, and we'll put that out there, and we'll make sure the link for Special Olympics is in that too. So hopefully you get a little extra, a little bump or something.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
But yeah, so that was, yeah, but it was, again, it was like one of the best days of the summer, just, you know, playing hockey with some of the best players in the world. And like Hannah Stroza, Hartman, Brandon Bullig's another guy who's always been, you know, very cool with us. And so, yeah, that was a great day.
Yeah, Jeff, you know Bullig really well.
Yeah, Bullig's a St. Louis guy. He's one of my buddies.
Yeah,
great man.
Right. Yeah.
Great man.
Yep. Just got married. But I think he's like here now. He's like a Chicago guy. I think he's like living here for the rest of his life. He's turned
He loves Chicago, which is like so funny. That's just absolute traitor if you're from St. Louis and you
he's a great
moved to
guy
Chicago.
2 seconds later, I told
yeah. No, I knew he moved to Chicago. Like we were down for a buddy's bachelor party and he came out and met us. But I was just like, you know, if you're from St. Louis, Chicago is. Yeah. You can't do that. You can't do that.
If you're from Chicago and you go to St. Louis, you get tetanus shots.
I mean, it's hilarious that St. Louis people build up a rivalry because there is no rivalry. Like, Chicago is a billion times better.
It's just like the Cardinals. Like but now even the Cubs are better than the Cardinals. You guys have literally nothing.
Yeah, we've lost it all. We get to hang our head in shame.
That's funny. Well, before we go, wanted to just ask you too. Obviously, we're doing a podcast here, and you guys have an unbelievable podcast with Redline Radio. That's just, you know, going up the charts and is blowing up in Chicago. And what's it like doing that? Like, how have you enjoyed it? And I mean, it's a great podcast, but you guys must have a blast doing it.
Yeah, I mean, we're all friends, right? So we've been buddies here, like, and I don't think any of the other Barstool cities really have that dynamic where all the writers just kind of like hang out and enjoy each other in real life. So, you know, we get together Monday nights typically and have a couple beers. We now have our own studio. So we rented out this office space like inside of an insurance agency, but it's ours. It's totally ours. Super professional. But yeah, so it's been really good. So I think we're, you know, we've been under the Barstool umbrella officially for like maybe 2 months now, or a month and 6 weeks, something like that. And it's really taken off. So we're pretty proud of that. And we have some, you know, again, it's kind of like we're having some big guests come on in the next month or so. I don't want to spoil it too much, but, you know, some former Bears, some former Blackhawks. And
big name former Bears and Blackhawks, too.
Yeah, yeah, and like people that we grew up on. So we're like geeking out a little bit. So, yeah, so we're pretty excited for that. Well, we'll just tell you one of them. Well, we're having Jeremy Roenick on. So he said I actually was not the worst defenseman that he's ever seen.
The second worst.
Yeah, the second worst. Way better than what Dale Halen gave me credit for. So
well, you went to his you went to his adult camp this summer, didn't you, for a day or two?
So, well, we all did. So that was it was me as the only hockey guy, and then we had the baseball guys who have never played hockey before. And so they invited me, and I'm like, I don't know, like, I don't think I really want to go to a men's league camp. But what if I, you know, can I bring my two buddies and film it? And they have no idea what's going on. They don't know how to skate. They don't know how to do anything. And so we have that video is coming out like in 2 weeks. I think it's finally like all edited up. And it was hilarious. So they just basically tried to like talk hockey and look the hockey part, and then they would like go out on the ice and just like a baby deer, like going everywhere, and like JR is like giving them little nut taps. And so, yeah, that was a really fun night.
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, my dad actually works at that rink at Glacier, and so he was kind of behind the scenes helping it all go and everything. And he said the coolest thing about Roenick's camp was like after the camp is over, they just like go out into the parking lot and have a million beers, and Roenick just tells like all of his stories from back in the day. Like, and there's no holds barred. Like, he tells all of his stories. So were you a part of that? That must have been unreal.
That was unreal. So, and like, they had like pizzas and stuff in the back and, you know, a couple of cases of beers, and like, he made an announcement. They had like music playing, and it wasn't like he was on a microphone, like telling stories. It was just like, you know, he'd kind of mosey around like different groups of guys, and like, somebody would remind him of something, and he'd go off on a tangent. And be like, that was goal. So the goal is to kind of get somehow over Skype or the phone, get JR drunk, and then have him tell
just rip stories.
Yeah, rip stories. So that'll be the goal when we have him on the podcast here in a few weeks. So, but yeah, he was awesome too. Like, you know, I swear hockey people are just better people than everyone else. Like, everyone's just like, they're just good guys, like down to earth guys. And it doesn't matter if you're, you know, Hockey Hall of Fame or, you know, us.
No, it's so true.
The
though.
Peasants, yeah. As they say on Spit and Chicklets, right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. We're the peasants. Yeah. So it's yeah, they're all, and the guys just want to have fun, and then so it's a good crew of guys typically with hockey boys.
Yeah, for sure. Well, you are certainly one of the better ones, and we appreciate you coming on and helping us out, being one of our first guests on our podcast. You know, hopefully we have some more people that listen to it other than my mom and Jeff's mom. But you know,
my mom refuses to listen to it. So you lost her already.
All right. Well, then we're in trouble. But having you on here is awesome. It's been great talking to you. You're a great advocate for hockey, and that's what we're trying to do is trying to get hockey out to as many people as we can and tell some stories. So appreciate you being on here, and good luck.
Yeah, anytime,
with,
guys. I had a lot of fun. That was a lot of fun. So yeah, anytime you need a fill in guest, if Kendall Coyne says I'm not coming on again, another
guy will come on. You should have heard her. She was, yeah. Oh my God, she's like the greatest person ever.
Yeah. She's so sweet. Oh. She like couldn't be more sweet. So
yeah, and then I googled the picture of her and her husband after, like, it
plays the charger,
insane.
Something, right?
It's yeah. Literally like she doesn't even come up to like his waist. It's insane. He's 6'7", like 320 or something.
Yeah, and she's like the more accomplished athlete. She's like gold medalist. Yeah.
Yeah. Crazy.
Good stuff, man. We'll appreciate it, and yeah, we'll be in touch for sure. Good luck with everything.
Yeah, same to you guys.
Thanks, brother.
Yeah, no problem, guys.
All right, see ya.